So welcome and congratulations on being here still for week 5 of our 10-week series, The Principles and Practices of Prosperity. This class is about forgiveness, the practice of forgiveness. It is about letting go and releasing the emotional baggage and the toxic energies that we can pick up from actions or words or thoughts that we perceive that were harmful from us or others. You know, there's a story about these two priests, an older and a younger one, and they were walking along. And as they were walking, they came to this little stream, and this woman was struggling, trying to get across it. And without saying a word, the older priest picked her up, carried her across the stream, put her down, and kept walking. And after a few minutes, the younger priest said, "Hey, we're not supposed to touch women. We made a vow not to do that, and you touched her. I mean, that's a violation. We're probably going to get in all kinds of trouble," and blah, 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 blah. And he's going on for like 5 minutes, and then finally after he stops, the older priest said, "You know, I put her down about a mile ago. How come you're still carrying her?" And it sounds like such a silly and obvious thing, but the truth is sometimes we carry around hurts and pains from a lot longer than a mile ago. Sometimes some years and decades, we're still harboring hurts and anger and resentments and bitterness and grudges from the past. And we're still carrying those things with us. And sometimes we hold on to them when we even know that it's not good and it's not a healthy thing for us. Eckhart Tolle refers to something that he calls the pain body, that every one of us has a pain body of unresolved hurts or pains or disappointments, regrets, shame and guilt that were unresolved, things that we buried, we denied, we hid, that we didn't process or allow ourselves to even acknowledge or own, and that pain body gets triggered by the other things that people might say. Sometimes they might say something that triggers it, and we have a disproportionate reaction of anger and upset towards that person, where it's just triggering pain that has been in us that we just have not resolved. And one of the things he says about it is that pain wants to be liberated. It wants to be released and not just stuffed and kept there festering. That our soul wants to be lightened and freer, you know, to live the life we are here to live and not to be carrying around the unresolved hurts and pains that are still with us. How many people ever been mistreated or someone, you know, cheated or hurt you in some way, and it hurts you so bad you just couldn't stop thinking about it? Anybody ever have that experience? And so, you know, we have an amazing ability and capacity to hold on to hurt. And whatever form you call it, whether you call it anger or regret or disappointment, it is amazing how we hold on to pain. And one of the key and the most important things we can do for ourselves to not just experience prosperity, but peace of mind and joy and happiness and freedom and an ability to move on with our lives is to learn how to release the pain of the past, how to forgive, and how to set ourselves free. You know, some of you know my story, and that is that I was injured and paralyzed in a car accident the day after I graduated from high school. And I was a passenger in the car, and unfortunately the driver fell asleep at the wheel, and I was thrown from the car and hit by it and fractured my spine, had a spinal cord injury, and was told I would never walk again. And, you know, at first I was just hoping I'd get better, and I wasn't getting better, and I was ended up in the hospital for 5 months and told I'd never walk again. And initially I was just hoping everything would be good, but then after a while it wasn't, and then after about 2-3 months, started resenting and hating the guy that was driving. And, you know, I would hate him, and I would say he ruined my life. That was my mantra. He ruined my life. I felt like he robbed me, and I got robbed of a great life I could have had as a high school athlete, of just being able to walk. And I was going into the kinesiology program. And so I just developed a lot of anger in myself towards him, a lot of hatred, a lot of bitterness. I'd wake up every day just thinking of horrible things to do to him. I call them revenge fantasies. Anybody ever play this game? Someone does something to you and you start wishing bad things upon them. You see them falling and breaking their leg, or they, you know, their business goes bankrupt, or they get divorced, or you smile as you visualize them choking on a chicken bone. You ever have those kind of things? My favorite one used to be, I used to like imagine myself like driving a car and I see him walk across the street and I'd step on the grass and I'd hit him. But then I'd put it in reverse and I'd do it again, and then forward and backward and forward. And the thing is, I didn't want to kill him. I wanted to hurt him. I wanted him to suffer the way I was suffering. I wanted him to feel lost. I wanted to punish him and pay him back for what I felt he did to me, which was to ruin my life. And so there was just a lot of bitterness and a lot of anger. There was a lot of self-pity going on inside of me. And so you can imagine this time I wasn't meditating a lot. I wasn't going to church. I was just this little ball of anger and upset. And my mom tried to encourage me to pray and all of that kind of stuff and go to church. And I just was not in the mood for all that stuff. I was just angry. You know, you ever been like so upset that someone says hello and you're ready to pick a fight with them? That's how on fire I was with hurt and anger. And so my mom realized I was not listening or not going to listen. So instead of telling me all these wonderful things to do to find peace, she, anybody know the daily word, the little daily devotional? She started dropping them all over the house. Any room I went in, there was always like one there. And of course, I know what she was doing. So the more I saw them, the more I would not pick one up. And after X number of months of seeing these suckers around, for some inexplicable reason, one day I picked one up and I opened it. And coincidentally, the word, the daily word, was forgiveness. And it said that most of us don't want to forgive because we think it means that we're letting the other person off the hook. And for what they did, they don't deserve to be let off the hook. So we just hold on to the anger and the bitterness. And this little devotional said that the only person that really gets let off the hook when you forgive is yourself. Because when you fill your heart with hatred and anger and bitterness, there is no room for peace. There is no room for love. There is no room for joy. There's no room for creativity and passion and all the good things that we could be experiencing. And, you know, it's an interesting thing when someone hurts us or does something we think is unjust or unkind to us. And a question I'd asked myself years after was, so how long can you keep blaming them and hating them? Like 1 year after the event incident? Or maybe 5 years after the incident? Or maybe how about 10 years? I mean, or would you give up your whole life to still hold on to pain, no matter how unfair we think it may have been? And so I realized that he wouldn't do nothing to me. He was long gone, that I was doing it to myself, and that I definitely deserved better, and that the only way to find that level of peace, the only way to set myself free, the only way to move forward with my life was to find a way to forgive and find a way to let go of the pain of the past. You know, it didn't come fast, it didn't come easy. But it is something I certainly intentionally worked on and prayed sincerely to be released of that hurt and pain I was harboring. And you know, it's interesting. They say be careful what you wish for because it might come true. So about 5 years or so after my car accident, my father had some hand controls put in the family car. And so I started driving a bit. And I was driving around in the neighborhood, and I kid you not, as I was driving, who do I see crossing the street in front of me? And it's just like almost like one of those TV shows where the little angel, the little devil pops up, and the little devil is saying, come on, man, it's payback time, it's payback time. Hit him. It's only 3 points. Hit him. And the little angel, of course, saying, there's no need for that. That's not going to do you any good. So he came to the stop sign, and he was crossing, and I honked the horn, and I waved to him. And you know when someone is on the street, and they're waving for him from a car, you can't tell who it is initially. So he's in there, and then he realized who I was, and he waved and kept running. And And I would have to say, when I waved at him, it was a sincere wave because, you know, it was a kind of a message to myself that everything was okay. I didn't want to hurt him. I didn't want to injure him in any way, that I had really found a sense of peace in what happened. It happened. And it was time to move on and to let it go. And so as I turned the corner to go to my home, symbolically, I think I was turning the corner on a chapter of my life I needed to release and to let go so I could move forward, so I could actually live, so I could be free and find joy and create good and wonderful things that I hadn't been creating, harboring and holding on to that hate and negativity. But I'll tell you, you know, as much as forgiving him was hard, what was much, much harder was forgiving myself, because I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. And over I went in my head, why didn't I wear my seatbelt? How can I be so stupid? And my mantra was, I run my life. And that's a hard thing to deal with when you realize you did something that hurt yourself in a way, or even hurt anybody else in a way that you can't take back. And it is a painful and difficult experience to live through. And I'll tell you, as much as it hurt to find out I wouldn't walk and wouldn't be able to do sports the way I could, as much as that pain was for that loss, it didn't compare to not feeling peace. It didn't compare to feeling inner turmoil and anger and emptiness and thinking my life was over. It didn't even compare. And so the only path I could have had in that situation to have any kind of life was to learn how to forgive myself and how to let go and realize I made a mistake and it didn't have to cost me the rest of my life. That sometimes you do lose things. Sometimes there are mistakes. But you need to learn, you need to adapt. And if there isn't forgiveness, that we'll never be able to find peace and love for ourselves and peace and happiness in our lives. You know, Michael Beckwith said that 100% of spiritual growth is about letting go. And letting go, I would say, is the hardest of all spiritual practices. It's tough to let go. It's tough to let go and forgive others. It's tough to let go and forgive ourselves. It's tough to let go of the hurt that we have been through in our lives. But it's the only way to free ourselves. You know, people think tithing is hard. I think forgiveness is way harder. I mean, it is not an easy thing to let go. And, you know, Richard Rogers used my two favorite scriptures on Sunday. And that's the one with Lot and his wife and turning back. And the double emphasis on that is that she turned into a pillar of salt. Pillars don't move. They are stuck right there. And salt, the preservative, keeps you there. And you can't move forward. That's the whole thing. You're stuck and you can't move forward. And that other one in Luke, it says, no one who puts his hand to a plowshare and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. And the fact is, what happens is when you're using a plowshare and you look back, you know what happens? The plow actually moves and doesn't drop the seed in the best soil. So the seed that you do drop tend not to produce a harvest. So that when you're looking back, the seed that you have, it won't plant and it won't succeed and you won't prosper because you're looking back. And so we stop ourselves from having seeds that grow and blossom into greater things because we're so preoccupied with what's behind us rather than what's in front of us and what is ahead of us. You know, I mentioned in the first class that life is about energy, and energy needs to move and circulate, whether it's in the form of blood inside of our body that keeps us alive, or inhaling and exhaling oxygen or the pump in your pool, it has to move. And nothing stops the flow quicker than holding on to resentment or bitterness or anger or all the other variety of not so healthy or fun emotions that we tend to engage in. And so the key to liberation, the key to freedom, the key to lightening our burden is forgiveness. And it is a tough lesson. It's a tough practice. But I think it's the most powerful and liberating, and it's necessary. And sometimes it's necessary daily. And that it is the key to moving our lives forward. And so let's answer a few questions. What is forgiveness? And so here's the answer. Forgiveness is letting go and releasing of the pain and negative emotions and toxic energies that we hold on to toward ourselves or others for whatever words, thoughts, or actions that we thought were harmful or wrong. The letting go, it's letting go of the pain, letting go of the negative emotions and the toxic energies that we sometimes hold on to as a result of our perception of what someone's words or actions did that we thought were harmful or wrong. That is forgiveness. It is untying and freeing ourselves from that pain from the past. And here's what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not denying or pretending that we're not hurt. Anybody ever got hurt and then someone said, you okay? I said, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. Everything's cool. You know you're not cool, but you're just saying everything's cool. Kind of. Another one is smiling on the outside and wishing them all the negative things on the inside. So like, hey, you dirty dog, I can't say. Like, we do so. We pretend that it's okay. Another one is forgiveness is not condoning inappropriate or unhealthy behavior. Forgiveness is letting go of the emotional stuff that we hold on, but it's not saying that that behavior was okay, that it was not appropriate, because it was not. Forgiveness is not forgetting what was done. I won't say forget. And to me, forgiveness is you can look back on it and not get triggered by it. And I get the idea of forgetting, but to me, I think it's healthier to be able to look back, realize it happened, and not get triggered by it. To me, that feels healthier. And then the final, forgiveness is not a sign of weakness. Yeah, you know, they're so weak, they'll just forgive me. And Gandhi once said that the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is an attribute of the strong. It takes strength to forgive. It takes strength to realize, regardless of how we've been hurt, that we need to let that go for the betterment of ourselves, for the betterment of our families, our community, and our world. We need to forgive. We need to let go. So again, forgiveness is about releasing the toxic energies. It's not about condoning the behavior. It's about releasing that negative stuff that we hold on to inside of us. And why is it important to forgive? Remember that scripture that said, before you go to the altar, get up and go to your brother and forgive. And what it's saying is that if you want to feel a connection to God, that if you want to feel a greater sense of peace or joy, you know, if you want, a fullness, a full life, forgiveness is a prerequisite. It must happen first to open yourself to greater good and greater abundance. You know, prosperity is about always aligning yourself with the very source out of which good comes. And to me, you know, if we don't forgive, we actually block ourselves from feeling that connection to the source. And so the most profound way to experience the presence of God is to love God and to love ourselves. But you can't really love God and love ourselves if we're still holding on to hatred and bitterness and blame and regret. Charles Fillmore said something really cool, and it is that the level of prosperity you experience in your life is directly related to the quality of thoughts you hold towards other people. That you cannot experience levels of peace and joy and abundance by wishing and hating negative things for other people. You know, you can't pray, God, give me peace, joy, love, happiness, success, and give that dirty dog of a boss his what's due to him. Probably not attracting as much peace as you think. Because we are all connected, we're all one. Remember what he's saying, the quality of your life, the level of prosperity, is directly related to the quality of thoughts we hold towards others. And so that's why forgiveness is a hugely important thing. To free that energy that's toxic, but also be able to send love, to send blessings. Because our level of happiness, prosperity, and peace is directly related to the quality of thoughts we express and share to others. The thing I love about forgiveness is a healer. It heals the heart. It heals the mind. It heals the spirit. You know, and when we are not forgiving, it is destructive energy. Resentment relives and it restricts the flow of healthy energy. And forgiveness releases and renews us. It releases and renews us to live life more fully. How many people ever said, "Why is this happening to me again?" Anybody ever have that one? Well, forgiveness stops us from repeating certain patterns of pain and the pattern of sometimes being a victim. And sometimes we keep repeating things, and forgiveness is a way to free ourselves from those energies and that consciousness that keeps attracting that type of energy that we don't want. Forgiveness is a process. It often does not happen at once. It can, but it sometimes takes time. It takes work, and it takes effort. Remember that wonderful quote by Havelock Ellis I used last week, which is, "The art of living lies in the fine mingling of letting go and holding on." And in the same way, with limiting beliefs, we sometimes hold on to things we should let go and let go of things we should hold on. When it comes to the emotional component of life, that is even more true. Sometimes we hold on to fear and anger and anxiety, and we let go of our faith and our joy and our peace. And we need to learn how to use those in a more conscious and intentional way. And so here are the keys to forgiveness. The number one thing about forgiveness is being willing. Sometimes we think we need to know how to forgive. No, we actually don't need to know how to forgive. All you need to do is, are you willing to forgive? Has anybody ever not been willing to forgive? You know, I would never forgive him for what he said. I'll never forgive that dirty so-and-so. I mean, so sometimes we're not willing. And sometimes when we're not there, sometimes we just got to be willing to be willing because we are so not there. But it is by far the most powerful and vital step in forgiveness is, are you willing to let go? Are you willing to forgive? Are you willing to free yourself? Here are the five things that forgiving, the willingness to forgive, is also a willingness for these two things. It's a willingness to accept responsibility for your life. To no longer blame or hold someone else responsible, but to accept responsibility for your life. That's the first thing. Are you willing to do when you look at forgiveness? The second one is, are you willing to reclaim your power? Instead of saying that someone else, their actions, is affecting my peace of mind and my happiness, when you forgive, you actually reclaim your own personal power. Number three is a willingness to reestablish your peace, your inner peace. When you forgive, that's what you do. You reestablish your inner peace. Number four is a willingness to cleanse and purify your heart. And number five is a willingness to do that inner work. Because again, it's a process. It's not just usually a one-time deal. It's to do that work as it's needed to keep releasing, freeing, and transforming our pain into light. Both. Yes. And so that's a big thing. So think about someone you've had some struggle forgiving. And ask the question is, are you willing? Are you willing to forgive? Are you willing to let go of the pain? You know, are you willing to be healed? Are you willing to trust God? I mean, are you willing to know there are even greater things beyond that hurt or pain or regret that you are experiencing? It's a willingness to allow God to free us from it, a willingness to be transformed, a willingness to move on. Are you willing? The next one is that I think is vital for forgiveness is compassion. And so many of us, you know, when someone has not been kind or caring or sensitive or thoughtful to us, can think, you know, what a jerk, how mean, how cruel, how insensitive. And we have zero compassion for them, for what they did, how they behave. And, you know, what was interesting was about 7 or 8 years ago when I was going through a divorce, I was attending the Buddhist church on Townley, 7th and Dunlap. And on Monday night, that's when they had church. So I'm a little busy on Sunday, so I go there Monday night. And it was a tough little experience. And so they do a lot of compassion meditations. And what was interesting is, I'm thinking it's about my stuff of going through the divorce and blah, blah, blah. So I'm doing this compassion meditation, and suddenly my grandfather pops up into my head. And I was 3 when he died. Something, this is weird. And so I was just contemplating on this thing. And the fact is, my grandfather was not a nice man. He was mean to my father. He was my father's father. And I never really cared for him, even though I didn't know the guy. In fact, I didn't even think of him as a part of me. He was so mean to my father, so abusive and unkind. And so it was so weird in this compassion thing that he pops up into my head. And so as I'm going through this process, you know, I started thinking, so I wonder why he was so not nice. I wonder what might have happened to him that had him turn and treat my dad like that. And then I remembered that my father's mom died when he was 11 years old. And the only thing I'd ever thought of was my poor dad. He was 11 when he lost his mom. I never thought that my grandfather lost his wife. I never even thought of the guy or what he might have been doing. And as I prayed more, somehow my heart began to soften. And not to excuse anything he may have done, but it was to soften to think, wow, I don't know what stuff was going on with him, but I began to just have compassion for him and what he went through. And maybe how hard it might have been to lose your wife and have an 11-year-old son to raise and not know how to deal with your own emotions and so on and so forth. And so what began to happen was, here was a man, A, I did not know. B, I did not like. I didn't even think he was a part of myself. But what started happening was this healing from compassion and being forgiving and understanding. And realizing that he is a part of me. And there are parts of ourselves that we're proud of that we think are good, and other parts we want to disown. And the fact is, they're all a part of us. Sometimes they're my body that I like, and I get, and other parts I hated and didn't even want to look in the mirror at them. But the fact is, we need to have love and compassion because it's all a part of us. And it was the strangest thing in the world. But I will tell you, there was a healing I had with my grandfather, and there was a healing I think I had within myself towards parts of me that I treated like him, that I didn't like, that I hated, that I didn't think were really a part of me. And so my point is that sometimes we don't know everybody's story. We don't know what they did. And not to excuse anyone's behavior, but sometimes people get hurt and they don't know how to respond in ways that are healthy. You know, and sometimes just having a little compassion not only helps our understanding of them, but I think it helps us with our understanding of ourselves. Our understanding and our acceptance and making peace with ourselves as well as making peace with others. And that's what makes forgiveness possible, is to have compassion. Everybody remember in Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he tells a story about being on this subway, and this father and the 2 kids come on the subway and they're acting. The kids are running all up and down. The father's sitting there not doing a thing, looking after his kids at all. And Covey's getting all kinds of upset and very judgmental against how this guy could be so inconsiderate to everybody on the train. And after a while, he gets so mad, the kids are running up and down. He goes to the guy and says, hey, fella, you know, your 2 kids, they're running all over the place, and they're kind of disrupting everybody's experience here. And the guy kind of wakes up from a daze and he said, "Oh, I'm just so sorry. I'm so sorry. We just got back from the hospital. You know, the kid's mom just died and I just don't know how to handle it." And so suddenly Covey, from being angry at this guy, he's thinking he's not a good parent, blah, blah, blah. Suddenly his heart opens for him and he feels compassion. And, you know, all stories aren't exactly like that, but I do believe that compassion is a powerful and important thing that we need to have more for ourselves. Because sometimes we beat ourselves up when we don't get it right. We can be so brutal on ourselves and unkind that sometimes we just need to have some compassion for ourselves. Have compassion, you know, for others and what they go through. And again, not to excuse, but to say there's more here that's going on. And maybe some understanding and some compassion might bring, you know, more healing to me, to the relationship and to life. Because going on with harsh judgments and criticisms and hating and closing our hearts off and, you know, pushing away or shutting down, you know, is not going to bring us the level of fulfillment and peace that we're all seeking. Relationships aren't easy. Life isn't easy. We're all going to say things that are kind of dumb or insensitive or cruel or unkind. We all will hear enough of those and we'll say enough of those practically daily. And so if we don't and aren't willing to forgive and aren't willing to have compassion, you know, it will absolutely stop the flow of intimacy and connection and love and support and kindness and caring. Let's do a little exercise. I call this meditation, "Just Like Me." So think of someone that you might struggle with having some compassion for. And see them in your mind's eye. Take a deep breath. And let me pray on behalf of all of us for these individuals. So God, I know that this person wants to be loved just like me. That this person wants to have a happy life just like me. That this person desires to experience peace and success just like me. That this person actually wants to do good and make a difference just like me. And I know that this person has problems just like me. That this person is hurting just like me. This person can act like a jerk just like me. This person can make mistakes and be inconsiderate and be unaware, just like me. And I also know that this person is a child of God, just like me. That this person deserves a second chance, just like me. That this person deserves compassion, just like me. I am and they are a beautiful, beloved child of God, just like me. And so everyone, just take a deep breath. And no matter what the thing is, can you just have compassion for this person? Can you just send them understanding? Can you just send them blessings of peace and love and desire for them the same level of good that you desired for yourself? Because the truth is, this person is just like me. Deep breath. Feel love and compassion for yourself. Feel love and compassion for this person. And so it is. Amen. Forgiveness is a process. Forgiveness is a practice. And you know, all of these situations, all these people, all these relationships, all these things that happen to us really came to teach us, to show us to be stronger and more understanding, and to know love at a deeper level. And I think one of the things for me about forgiveness that I discovered about it and an insight into it is that forgiveness really is an act of self-love. Asking the question, do you love yourself enough to stop punishing yourself by reliving that same story and that pain and that incident, that regret? You know, do we love ourselves enough to stop inflicting that pain on ourselves? Or do we love ourselves enough to let it go? Do we love ourselves enough to send ourselves love and to send that other person love? You know, I really believe that the person that hurts us the most is us. And, you know, and forgiveness is an act of self-love that says, I choose not to hurt me anymore. I choose to stop reliving, you know, the pain and reminding myself of the pain and keeping that pain alive. So right now, what I'd like you to do is to make a list of the things that you love yourself enough to let go. So it could be, things you, from your parents or from childhood or your family or children or spouse or exes or things that you need to forgive or let go about choices that you've made, about things that you did not do or things that you said or maybe didn't say. So I just want you to make a list of all the things that you love yourself enough to let go and stop punishing yourself by rethinking and reliving and keeping that toxic energy and negative emotions alive. So let's take about 3 or 4 minutes and just write down all the things you love yourself enough to let go. Okay. Keep writing if you need to keep writing. But one thing we're going to do, let's do a little forgiveness thing. Think of one person, and I think this is written in your book, but I'm just going to speak it on our behalf. So think of one person on that list that you would like to forgive, and I'll speak the prayer on our behalf. Is it in your book?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Then let's all do it together, okay? So think of somebody. And then close your eyes, take a deep breath, or maybe open them if you want to read the thing, we're going to read it together. But with a willingness to forgive, with a willingness to heal, with a willingness to be free, with a willingness to move forward in peace and love, let's say the person's name and then affirm this entire forgiveness affirmation. So say the person's name, Albert. I forgive you completely. Are you on this one? I let go of the pain of the past and all negativity I have held towards you. Deep breath. I lovingly release you to your highest good, and I send you blessings of peace, love, and prosperity. You are free, and I am free. Thank you, God. Amen. Think of someone else. Say their name, and then let's do it again. I forgive you completely. I let go of the pain of the past and all the negativity I have held towards you. Deep breath. I lovingly release you to your highest good, and I send you blessings of peace, love, and prosperity. You are free, and I am free. Thank you, God. Amen. Deep breath. And let's do it for ourselves, and let's read it together. I forgive myself completely. I let go of all regret, guilt, and shame that I have held towards myself. Deep breath. I lovingly release myself to my highest good, and I send myself blessings of peace, love, and prosperity. I am free. Thank you, God. Amen. So your homework is to do affirmations for everyone on your list and yourself. And you know, one thing I just want to say is that that's like a little like formatted and might feel mechanical for you. I always think it's good to have some structure. And if you feel like tweaking it, tweak it. But I just at least wanted to give you some kind of structure in how to go about in forgiving, because it's really not something we think about, and it's sometimes so hard. I think sometimes just having a little format and structure can be helpful. But feel free to customize it in a way that will feel more impactful or meaningful for yourself. So let's quickly just go over the last couple of things, and that is, go ahead. Yes. Oh, 100%. Yes. So shutting the door and closing, like forgiveness doesn't mean you got to take them out to lunch next week. It means, or even go and speak to them. It's a personal thing of cleansing the energies that are within ourselves. And I think there are some situations, and depending on it, that, and we'll talk about apologies and making amends, is that sometimes that's warranted and that's appropriate, and sometimes not speaking them forever is appropriate too, creating healthy, important boundaries. So it all depends on the nature of the situation and the relationship and what feels clear and the best for you. And you always kind of know it based on how you feel inside, because there are some relationships and situations where you just know it's good to set a boundary and there needs to be space. And it could be A, for a while, or B, that's just not someone that should be in your life any longer in any form. And then there's some that you can actually go to and make amends and apologize and have conversation and heal it that way. So all the forgiveness can come in all kinds. It's always about the inside work, whether the person's there or not. Anybody ever saw that Roseanne Barr, episode where she actually forgave her father who just died? I thought it was fabulous. I mean, that's how powerful forgiveness is, about what goes on in here. He had died, and I guess he wasn't the nicest guy in the world. And so she was at his casket saying, "Dad, I love you, and you know, and I forgive you for all the pain, blah, blah, blah." And I thought that was really, really powerful. So whether they're dead, whether there's boundaries set that you may not see them, or whether you decide to get together and have a chat with them, forgiveness is always about what's in here. And then what's happening with the relationship depends on the relationship and what is most appropriate and healthy for you and them in that situation. Does that make sense, everyone? Okay, great. And so to me, to make an apology is not a prerequisite necessarily, or getting one is not necessarily a prerequisite for forgiving, but I think it can be actually a really, really good thing. That sometimes apologizing is a very powerful way that can kind of facilitate the way to forgiveness and compassion and understanding by acknowledging that you'd done something that may not have been as healthy or kind, or even hearing it. When someone apologizes to me after saying or doing something, I'm like, oh, of course I'll forgive you. It's like something, your heart just kind of opens and it makes it easier. Again, not necessary, but I think it could be helpful for both the person apologizing and the person receiving it. Studies show that actually someone who receives an apology, their blood pressure goes down, they feel less tension, they feel more peace, their heart rate goes down. So I think it is a good and important thing to be able to apologize when you feel that it is appropriate. You don't control the other person apologizing to you, but you definitely can control you if you feel guided to apologize. And I think it's never too late to apologize. I got a friend, and we were seeing each other, and it kind of went a little squirrely, as it sometimes does, but we still maintained a friendship. We just didn't talk about that part. And it had been going, and it 5 years of good friendship, you know, and everything was cool, and it always kind of bothered me. And so I'd said to her once, I said, like literally 5 years later, we were living in different states, and we happened to, connect, because she was in town for a conference. And I said, you remember 5 years ago? She said, yes. And I said, I am so sorry about the way I showed up. You know, you deserve better than that, and I was just in a not a good place. And I just so apologize, you know, that I was a bit of a goofball. And, you know, and I just know that I care about you way more than the way I acted, and that wasn't cool. So I apologize. And I'll tell you, we were already friends because we're really, you know, we're just good at talking and all kinds of things. We just really enjoy that. And it made it even better. And even 5 years later, it felt good. I can never, ever, 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 ever too late to apologize. There's healing. There's open-heartedness that can happen. And we were friends, so it wasn't like we were like hating each other. But it took that to a deeper level when you are willing to go to that place of vulnerability and honesty in acknowledging your stuff and saying, I'm sorry. And then there were times, I've done this before, it's like, hey, I'm so sorry for that blah, blah, blah. And the person said, I didn't even notice anything. You ever apologize and they didn't even think anything? And I still think it's good because you're at least kind of owning your stuff. And so the other one is to make amends. And that is the difference between an apology and making amends is apology is asking for forgiveness and acknowledging a wrongdoing. Making amends is trying to actually restore justice and make it correct. So an apology would be like, hey, I'm really sorry. I borrowed that $20 and I never gave it back because I used it for drugs. An amends would be, hey, I'm really sorry I borrowed that $20 and never gave it back to you because I used drugs. And here's $20. So it's a way of, you know, rectifying the error that took place. And so for me, when you ask the question, forgiveness, self-love, and abundance, are they related? 100% they are. Because forgiveness blocks the energy of love and the flow of abundance and goodness and peace. And self-love is a willingness to release and to heal it. And then the natural state for us is love and abundance. And so the last one I just want to say is I think it's important sometimes to have a daily forgiveness practice. Like before we go to bed to say, Spirit, is there anything I'm holding on to that I need to let go? Anything that I'm aware of that I need to let go? That happened during the day that I just got caught up in and moved on to the next thing? Or maybe something I'm not even aware of that I'm holding on to that I need to release and let go. The Apostle Paul, he said, I die daily. And what he was saying is he lets go of everything that happened today so he can wake up and live fresh and new tomorrow and not keep repeating or carrying over some of the same pains or hurts. And so to literally just say to ourselves, is there anything I need to release from today? Is there anything I'm holding on to that it's time for, that I need to forgive so I can start clean tomorrow, so I can clean my heart now to wake up fresh to live my life more fully? A simple line like that, or even creating me a clean heart, O Lord, a simple little thing before we go to bed, I think is so powerful and important. You know, forgiveness, it is healing, it is liberating, it is absolutely transforming, and I think it's 100% necessary if you're going to live a life of prosperity and abundance, a life of peace and joy and success, that it absolutely is a prerequisite. It's not fun, it's not easy, but it's necessary, and it is a powerful, powerful spiritual practice. And we all deserve it because it's the gift of freedom. It is the gift of peace. It is the gift of moving on to greater and better things with our lives. And every one of us deserves that. God bless you.